Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi guys, welcome to the next episode of the City Confessions. This is a very special time for all of us, I guess. I know it's been overwhelming with everything that's been going on. And this is actually the first episode that I am recording remotely through an audio platform. So I apologize if the quality isn't the best. But again, I am doing what I can to continue the City Confessions. Today I have Anna Racki. She is actually an attorney in New York City, and it is so interesting because I don't think I personally know any attorneys. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. And I thought that everyone knows an attorney, but I guess I was wrong.
Oh, really? So let's just check in with each other. I know we kind of off air spoke a little bit about what's going on, but for you specifically, how are you genuinely doing?
I'm all right. You know, it's a little scary. We're doing all our work remotely, but I guess it will be fine. We just have to be patient.
And positive, for sure. Yeah. So what kind of attorney are you?
I specialize in serving the fashion industry.
Oh, really?
Fashion Institute of Technology. Oh, I graduated with a degree in fashion merchandising management. During my junior year of college, I was a research assistant to Professor Guillermo Jimenez, who's a co-author of the Only Fashion Law textbook. Mm-hmm. So he inspired me to go to law school. And then I graduated from law school with my Juris Doctor degree and passed the New York Bar exam. And since then, I've been serving clients primarily from the fashion industry, but I also had clients from the tech, media, art, beauty, and health industries.
That's amazing. So let's backtrack a little bit. Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Poland.
Okay.
I moved to New York City 10 years ago.
Okay.
Which was a big move. I hadn't known anyone here at the time. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, I was a little brave.
Yeah. And did you always... Well, I guess you were saying how you got started with law and everything, but when you were younger, did you ever think you would be a lawyer or an attorney?
Maybe. You know, I was good at writing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of high school teachers, they suggested that possibly I should become an attorney. Mm-hmm. But then in Poland, the fashion industry was booming. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think that there were enough fashion experts there. So I wanted to get my education somewhere. Where, you know, the industry is more developed, such as the UK or the United States. And since I've always liked the culture in the United States and, you know, the education here is great, I think. That's why I decided to apply for college. And the only college I applied to was actually FIT. And I got in and was able to get my dream degree.
That's amazing. Prior to you deciding to move here for your degree, did you ever visit the United States before?
Yes. Okay. I used to play basketball. I'm really tall. I'm 6'1".
Oh, okay.
I have this athletic background, and I came to Chicago for a basketball camp once, and then one as a tourist also, Chicago Midwest area, but not other parts of the States.
This is why I love doing this, because I think, first of all, that combination is so unique and it makes you so special. Like, I'm sure people wouldn't even have thought about that or like know that about you. Granted, obviously I don't see you in person, so I wouldn't have known either, but that's so cool. And that's why I love doing what I'm doing, because I think you can meet so many different people from different walks of life and just share their stories. So can you walk me through what a typical day in the life is for you? Granted, not when this is all happening, but like when it's back to normal.
Yeah, you know, it really varies. I'm also doing my LLM degree at Cornell now.
What degree is it?
On Roosevelt Island. It's an LLM.
Oh, okay.
And law, technology, and entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very hands-on practical experience when I work with different clients on issues related to intellectual property, employment, FDA, FTC regulations, and generally corporate work. So, you know, every day is different. I wake up early and go to bed relatively late as well, but I try to get at least 7-8 hours of sleep because, you know, the work and the course load is pretty demanding. So I have to be pretty productive.
So you normally work from home, like on your computer, or what does that look like?
No, it really varies, you know. Our work is a lot computer-based, but we also have conversations with clients and meetings and different types of negotiations. So not a lot of client interaction. If it happens, it's usually email, phone, Zoom. So for me, nothing has really changed that much. Maybe the location has changed, but not the way I do my work.
Okay. And how do you normally find your clients?
Well, it's a good question. There's no one way to get a client, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very important to do different type of business development. I think that some of my first clients, they came from my school experience. So when I was doing my JD, so the law degree, I was in a clinic called Fashion Law Practicum, and we were helping FIT students on various legal issues related to their project. And actually the company I work with, they launched and they started selling their products in Nordstrom and Anthropology. So I think that they've achieved tremendous success. And this was one of my clients from where I got from school, but I also regularly do public speaking engagements. I lectured pretty much all over Europe and the United States. So I spoke at the London College of Fashion and the University of Warsaw and University in Belfast and Chicago and New York. So I'm trying to go out there and talk to people, but I also believe in building relationships.
Totally.
So I think that it's important to get out there and show your expertise, but it's also important to connect with people on various levels, and it helps to be a better attorney and serve them better in their with regards to their legal needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you 100%. I think relationships is key to anything. And I think sometimes, especially in just in the digital space and the industry that I'm working in, you should never really go into it wanting something from somebody. You know, it's like normally just wanting to genuinely get to know that person and see what they're about and maybe perhaps how you can help them. But yeah, that's really something that I agree with. Can you tell me about social media and how you think, if at all, that role has played in your work or your lifestyle?
Well, I primarily use Instagram and only Instagram. And I didn't really get any direct clients from social media, but mm-hmm. It's a very helpful tool. I connect with people on different levels there. So I'm building my follower base, and they're loyal and they ask me questions. So I was also able to develop mentorship relationships with women or girls who want to come and study in the United States. And they're European or Asian, or they're from all over the world, actually. So I think it helps me just to connect with them and be in touch with them and answer any of their questions. But it's not necessarily the most effective tool in my legal work, but absolutely it helps, you know, when I want to share my articles, my publications, or my speaking engagements, and people become more aware of what I do and how they can be in touch with me.
Mm-hmm. And do you personally know Amanda from the fashion?
Yes, I do know Amanda. Yeah.
Okay.
So she's also an FIT grad. Mm-hmm. We didn't meet during school, but then I was really impressed by what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just reached out on her, I think, on Instagram, and we met. So I really admire her as a person, what she's doing in the fashion industry.
Yeah.
I think it's great. So, you know, social media, we can also use it as tools to connect with.
No, for sure.
And I'm famous for, you know, just cold calling people.
No, I love that. Like, I want you to know that that is such a great, like, characteristic to have. I think it's definitely scary, but I admire people who just, like, I mean, I don't know if you ever have a hesitant or, like, scared to do it, but I think there is no harm that can be done or that can be received from putting yourself out there, right? The worst that can happen is somebody saying no or somebody not answering. But I know there's, like, statistics that say if you make X amount of calls or pictures or whatever the case is, you know, you will get a return back, whether it's 1% or something like that. But there will be some type of return for sure. So that
it is definitely, you know, a numbers game.
Mm-hmm.
But also people are kind and they're willing to share mm-hmm. their expertise. So I think there's no harm in doing that. And I would encourage everyone to do that.
Yeah.
And especially me, for me, you know, I came here as no one. So I had to build my network and my reputation in the industry. So it was one of the ways to achieve it.
Yeah, I love that. And yes, for those who are listening, Anna did reach out to me. And I'm always open to having new guests on my podcast. And I think it's so great that, again, you were willing to put yourself out there. And given the circumstances of what's happening in the world, I'm also just grateful that we are able to both be present in this moment and just record this. But I want to shift gears a little bit. And now that we have your background and your overview of what you do and who you are, would you be able to tell me what keeps you up at night? And I ask this because I think maybe, you know, for this specific recording, given, again, what we're going through with the coronavirus, that could be what's keeping you up at night, or it can be something totally unrelated. But I always love to just have my guests be honest and open and say, like, hey, this is what I'm going through. Because I think people usually walk around, you know, with a facade that everything is fine and everybody has their, like, shit together. And that's normally not the case. So if you would be able to just open up a little bit and just say what's been stressing you out, maybe. Yeah, what would that be?
Yeah, I think many, many things, but primarily, and it's a universal thing, now during the pandemic and also overall health and general well-being of my family, because they all live in Poland and mm-hmm. we're a little far away, especially right now. I know I have no control of, you know, taking care of them because I can't go there. There are no flights.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, I also try to... I worry about them, so I guess this is what keeps me up at night.
Mm-hmm. And have you been, like, in contact with them frequently, or how has that communication have been, given, again, the time difference and the distance?
Yeah, you know, we talk every day. Maybe not over the phone, you know, but we text or things like that. So it's not bad. It's only 6-hour time difference. So I can't complain about that. I just like to be in control of things. And not because of the
situation. I'm the same way.
Yeah, I can't.
Right. And what have you been doing recently just to, you know, fill up your time? Have you been doing work, or have you picked up a new hobby? I'm just always curious to know what people are doing during this quote-unquote downtime.
Yeah, as I said, it hasn't changed for me that much. So it's still, you know, the same projects I've been working on. I just, you know, my workouts moved. I have to do them all at home. Mm-hmm. So I do yoga classes or things like that. And maybe I have more time to connect with my friends. So I just pick up the phone and call them.
Mm-hmm. And are you living by yourself?
Yes, I do live by myself.
Yeah, I mean, I have a roommate, but she's actually home, like, with her family, so I basically have been by myself for, like, 2.5 weeks, and it's weird in a sense that I feel like I'm getting used to not being alone. I mean being alone, but also just the scenario of like social distancing and like being quarantined. Do you agree?
Or yes, I definitely agree. I normally do have a roommate as well, but oh, okay. She moved out to her house, mm-hmm. So I miss her a lot.
Yeah, I know.
Me too. And definitely, you know, I see a lot of people every day, and now I see all of them, but on Zoom, so it's definitely different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just miss going out to my favorite restaurants or hanging out with my friends and generally being able to be free.
Yeah. What is your favorite restaurant? What are your favorite restaurants in New York?
Oh, there's so many. It depends. I'm a big breakfast person, actually.
You're not, or you are?
I am.
Oh yeah. My god, me too.
So I like brunch at Red Rooster.
Okay, I've never been there.
Yeah, it's pretty good, and I like Russ and Daughters.
Yes, Russ and Daughters is so healthy. It's always like, I feel like it's always a safe choice. Like, you can never go wrong with Russ and Daughters, for sure.
Yeah, but there are so many places. I heard that you can go to a different restaurants every day for 6.5 years, and I don't know if it's true, but it's crazy.
Only 6.5 years? I would think that's like more than that, because I grew up here, and I feel like every single day, I mean, there's obviously, I haven't been to every single restaurant, but I feel like it's definitely more than that. But that's really interesting. I feel like I should make that a goal. But then again, I feel like within those six and a half years, there's always new restaurants. So it just keeps adding. But yeah, that'll be something fun to do. And what is like the one thing you can't wait to do? Like once this is all over, what is like on top of your list?
Travel, probably.
Yeah.
You know, I like crossing the Hudson River and like some New Yorkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you, besides traveling in terms of, yeah, like going into the Hudson, do you normally travel or not really because of your work?
I do try to travel, not as much as I was able to during my studies, you know, in college or even in law school, but I try to visit different countries. I was just in Japan before.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Where in Japan? Because it's my favorite place.
I was visiting my friends from college, mm-hmm. and I was in Tokyo.
Oh my god, I love Tokyo.
And in Sendai, which is probably not as popular, but it was a great experience, very authentic Japanese experience because it's not a touristy place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was only in Tokyo because I did Hong Kong and Tokyo together, but it's like one of my favorite places and I'm like dying to go back. But do you have any fear of traveling now or like later this year with all of this, or not really?
I would definitely not travel right now.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I don't think so. I probably will just take all the necessary precautions, you know, but mm-hmm. No, I'm not afraid of traveling after everything comes down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I did like a poll on my Instagram asking people if they would still travel afterwards, and I mean, it wasn't surprising, but a good majority of people said they would, and I think it just goes to show that a lot of people, one, love traveling, and two, don't really want to use this experience as a, you know, as a fear, as a reason not to. But I also understand what you're saying, because I love traveling, and I feel like it's something that you have to still consider. And it's crazy because I feel like when I travel, I never thought about any of this, right? Like, you don't think about getting sick. You don't, and I think about all the places that I've been to and how crowded everything is from the moment you step foot out of your apartment to going to the airport, that whole security check, and then going to a plane and then landing in a foreign airport. Like, that's, you know what I mean? It's crazy because I never thought about that. Or even being in New York City and how dense the population is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that our perspectives, you know, have changed, and it will all be different afterwards. But I think we need to be positive and patient.
Yeah, and I think I'm the same way. I try to look at the silver lining and everything. And I think this situation has really exposed a lot of areas where, you know, our country can improve on, and hopefully you know, we can take the necessary steps to basically make, you know, improve on those areas and just, I don't know, especially with our healthcare system, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, again, we're gonna shift gears a little bit. So this podcast is called The City Confessions, and the reason why I named it that is because I had a moment where I was like looking at everybody that I was in passing and just felt like everybody has, one, a story to share, but two, also like a confession. And I don't say confession in a way where it's like a secret, so I'm not asking you to like tell me your deepest, darkest secrets, but if you can share just a confession that you have, and it can be very surface level or it can be something deeper, it's whatever you feel comfortable with, what would that be?
Well, I think I could generally be a better team player. Okay. I think that sometimes I tend to take on more than maybe I should. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, create the risk of burning out or just feeling unsupported by the team. So I think that I can improve by generally mastering the art of delegation and trusting more mm-hmm. my colleagues. I think that's something that I've struggled with. Because as I said, I like to be in control.
I feel you. I'm the same exact way. So for clarification, you have a team, or how does that work out?
No, I usually work with, you know, different attorneys mm-hmm. in groups. And I also, as a team, I also work with engineers or business people, you know, or creatives. So I work not only in multidisciplinary, but also multicultural teams on various projects. So mm-hmm. It's a challenge. And sometimes people are located in different countries and in different time zones. So it all requires some organization and time management skills.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of challenges, I mean, I don't know how much you can go into details, but can you recall a case, I guess you can say, or a time where you, I don't want to say failed, but you know what I mean? I guess went through an issue that really changed you as an attorney, or was a, you know, breaking point in your career?
Well, you know, maybe I'm not a baby attorney, but I'm still a toddler attorney, so mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. I've had 3 years of experience now. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, recently I worked on a legal tech project with a team of attorneys from Nigeria, Uruguay, and an software engineer based here in New York. And I think it was just difficult to manage our expectations because people have different objectives. And I think that I learned a lot from this project by just learning how to delegate work and how to better communicate.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think is the number one misconception people have of attorneys?
Well, I think that everyone thinks that attorneys are very stiff or dry, which is not necessarily true. Uh-huh. You know, I have a creative background, mm-hmm. So it's a little different for me. And we're not all boring. it's a specific profession, you know, it uh-huh. comes with certain responsibility. So we cannot be too goofy, but we're all people, you know.
And what do you like to do for fun?
You know, I hang out with my friends and do some sport activities, nothing too crazy. Uh-huh. I like to go to different events in New York City, go out to a restaurant, I guess just a regular New Yorker life.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I just want to take a moment now to kind of acknowledge you and what you do. You know, if you were here in person, I normally would look you in the eye and just like have this like you know, real moment to appreciate you, because I know that time is such an important factor, I guess you can say, in anybody's life, especially with what you do. I mean, for one thing, I feel like nowadays we feel like maybe to some people that we have all the time in the world, but still, you could have utilized this, you know, 25 minutes doing something else. So I appreciate you reaching out to me and just sharing your story. Even though it was pretty brief, I think it's just good to connect, like you said, and I think it'll be great for my listeners to also get to know a little bit about you. And obviously, if they want to know more, I will leave all of your information in the description. But before we close this out, I just have two more questions, and the second to last is can you tell me what you're up to? It can be professionally or personally, like when this airs, which is basically next week. Should people be on the lookout from anything new from you?
Well, you know, my next big thing is I'm graduating from Cornell, mm-hmm. In May, and then we'll see what life brings, what happens with my career.
Yeah, so do you have any... Well, I guess, yeah, it's hard to... I feel like it's hard for people to answer that question because there is so much uncertainty. I think, like, usually when I ask this, it's always, like, what are your plans in the horizon? But again, you know, what everything that's been happening in the world, I feel like everybody's life is basically put on pause.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx it, you know. I have many legal projects coming up, and mm-hmm. I also will likely be teaching mm-hmm. at a fashion college in New York. Mm-hmm. But we'll see what happens in the fall and what happens with the pandemic.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, and then my last question is, what is the one thing you love most about yourself?
Well, I think that most of my life, especially prior to coming to the United States, I struggled with self-confidence. But I think that by different public speaking engagements and the connections mm-hmm. I was able to make while I'm here, I just built and embraced my self-love and confidence, and I try to share my story and experience with other people so they can do things they dream about and mm-hmm. Not to be afraid of them.
I love that. Sorry, after you said that, I wanted to ask a little bit more, but was there a moment, like, how did you get out of that phase, you know what I mean? Like, I think people hear that all the time, like, okay, and people can relate to that, you know, like, I feel scared, or I'm insecure, or I'm this, I'm that. How do you, you know, like, I guess, gain the courage and strength that regardless of that fear, and of course that fear is valid and it's okay, how do you still put yourself out there? Like, did you know what I mean? Like, did you do anything? Did you, like, and what motivated you to kind of take those steps?
Well, it's definitely a process. It's very complex, so it doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. I think there's no one recipe to do that. I think that for me, it was people who I've met and who come from various cultures, and they appreciated me as a person. And then this combined with my professional and academic success, I was just able to step by step build my self-confidence, because I saw that you know, people appreciate me, and then I learned just to love myself by what I'm doing, and I guess by finding my real passion and combining my creative experience with my nerdy side and becoming a lawyer, so I guess it really helped me mm-hmm. To build my self-confidence.
Yeah, I love hearing that. So we're going to close this out, but if you can just leave the listeners with one advice, maybe like something that you've learned throughout the years, whether it's about career, about New York City, about chasing your dreams, about being more self-confident, what would that be?
Yeah, just let fear behind, you know? Don't be afraid of things. Mm-hmm. Step outside of your comfort zone. It might sound very cliche, but But it is what it is, and you know, just do it.
Yeah, that is such a positive note to leave this podcast with. So thank you again, Anna. I really, really appreciate you coming on remotely to record, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I honestly wasn't even, I was going to take a break from recording, but I'm so glad you reached out, because I figured, like, you know what, she's right, we could still make this work. And that's when I, you know, decided to look up other ways that I record. I think, like you said, I have such a control as well, because since I've started this podcast a year ago, my rule, well, I had two rules for it. Like, one was that my guest had to be in New York City, because I wanted a podcast that's like, you know, the targeted audience. But also, I always wanted to record in person, because I'm really huge on, you know, in-person interaction. So when this all happened, I thought that I would just still stick to that rule and basically put a pause on my podcast. But then you made me, like, without you knowing, also made me realize that, like, no, we can also change the way we do our work based off of things that, you know, we cannot control. So thank you for that.
I'm glad you said that, and I think that we all need to adapt to change. And thank you so much for having me, and I hope that we can meet in person.
Yes, we have to, and we can go grab brunch at Russ and Daughters or a new place. But I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and stay tuned for the next one next week. Thank you, and all right, bye.
Thank you.